Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Everything seems to be right with the world. Wait, no, it's not. Freak out! Panic! Get angry! This is Wretched Radio. Some breaking political news. That's right. This is going to be a political conversation. That's a lie. It's just a subterfuge for talking about applying the Bible to my heart and mind by using political stories, because our filter must be different than simply watching a conservative news program to glean through the Constitution, through the Declaration, through my economic system as a capitalist, somebody who believes in meritocracy. Yeah, you can have all of those thoughts, but if we are not filtering it biblically, we're not seeing really the big thing that God is doing, because it's always about the spiritual realm. Let's go to Boston, shall we? Which I think I get to go to pretty soon. I like Boston. Oodles, oh, history. There's a harbor. I think it smells like Darjeeling. Maybe it's Earl Grey that it smells like from the harbor. I'm trying to recall the amount of money that was ditched into the bay. I think it was like a couple million dollars worth of cargo that we used to express our unhappiness with King George. Boston has oodles of history to look at. John Adams and his wife Abigail, they are buried there. You can also go to the Northern District. Zero history, but great Italian food. Supreme Court to hear a case over Boston's refusal to fly Christian flag at City Hall. This is a story that I think is either a repeat or it's just an update on the story, because we've seen this before, and I think it was Boston. The lawsuit was filed against the city of Boston. There's a Christian civic organization. After the city refused to allow them to fly a, quote, Christian flag as one of the flagpoles outside of City Hall on Constitution Day. Yep, it was 2017, so they're just filing the lawsuit now. While allowing other organizations to raise flags on one of the poles to celebrate their occasions. Not fair. Unequal application of the rules. Unequal application of the Constitution. We'll let you fly your flag, but we won't let you fly your flag. I think that's the obvious political commentary. Look at what they're doing. They have an agenda. They'll tolerate this, but they won't tolerate that. Yep, that's worthy of our consideration. But I would like to perhaps challenge you again to see this a little bit differently. Rather than being agitated that the city of Boston, lovely town, it's certainly not a Christian town, why do I want to let them fly my flag? Not how dare you not let us? Why should we let you, government? Why do I want a Christian symbol at all flying over a government entity? What is the message that it is sending? I don't know that it's a clear message. I think it can be interpreted by a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. Does it mean that we want a theocracy? Does it mean that we believe that this is a Christian nation? Does it mean that we just are expressing our freedom to be able to fly a flag over a government building? The answer is, depends on who's driving by and who's seeing it. But I would also add this. While Boston, did I mention, lovely town. Can't wait to be there. It's a fun city. I dig Boston. But it's not a Christian city. It's not a Christian government, more specifically. It's a government in Massachusetts that goes about the business of willfully exterminating the lives of children, promoting sinful behaviors, not promoting anything that is righteous or good. Yep, they do some fine things. Let's not be confused about government. I think we have a tendency to just go, oh, the overreach here, the overbearing, tyrannical law there. They do a lot of stuff that we don't even notice, frankly, that we're probably even grateful for. Like when your toilet flushes, I suspect you're grateful for that. Okay, city works. Now, I don't think they should be in that business, but they are. And they do some things that are just fine, but it's not Christian. And instead of boo-hooing about the fact that they won't fly my flag, I think the correct Christian perspective and question should be, why do we want them to fly our flag? And discuss that question. Let's continue with the breaking political news. Well, I don't know how this worked out. This was last week. A pastor with his priorities. Well, assuming he has any. Pastor pledges to stop eating until Congress passes climate bill, but hopes it won't take long. ELCA guy, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. He felt led by God to embark on a period of fasting and prayer for climate change. Now, that's interesting, just newsworthy to a degree that a pastor made the headlines because he's in favor of global warming. Of course, the press loves this because, look, Christians that are in favor of a climate change. But I think there's more to the story. For instance, what is it that this climate change is your concern? Is there anybody in your town who doesn't know the gospel? Is there anybody in your town who hasn't been fed? You're worried about climate change, sir? I'm not sure that would fall under the purview of pastoral ministry. Second of all, this guy is in the ELCA. It is, I'm sorry, this is not glibly stated, but it's an apostate denomination. It is, could there be somebody in the ELCA who's saved? Yeah, but not for long. I mean, I don't mean saved. You're saved for eternity. You're saved for forever. You're going to persevere if you're in Christ. But this denomination long ago left the reservation. The ELCA has abandoned core doctrines, essential doctrines, over and over again. And I share that with you because this pastor is in the midst of that. He is a confessing ELCA pastor, not a confessional Lutheran. That's different. Somebody who's a confessing ELCA Lutheran. God spoke to him. That's what it said, didn't it? He felt led by God to embark on a period of fasting. That is why we must be very, very careful that we are not feelings led or thinking God is nudging me, prompting me, giving a push, a shove. I lay out a fleece. What's the feeling? I want drove by a billboard and it says fast for climate change. No, we ask God for wisdom. We pray. Make me wise. Don't give me the answer because he doesn't speak in the clouds. He speaks through a book and through godly counsel. Get that. Study the issue in the Bible. Consider your preferences and then you make a decision. That's the way to go about being led by the Spirit, utilizing the Spirit's tools. Because after all, anybody can claim they're being led. Quote, I'm praying and fasting, said the pastor, that this love your neighbor as yourself bill passes. That's a phrase I think we need to be thinking through a little bit because it's being used a lot, usually as a cudgel these days. Hey, you're not loving your neighbor if you don't put on a mask, social distance, and get an injection. I'm not commenting on any of those three areas, but I am seeing that those issues are being used to apply a Bible verse, love your neighbor. Now, obviously, it depends on what you think about masks and social distancing and injections to determine whether it's to love your neighbor or not, but I think we better start getting ready to be prepared for this because increasingly Christians we already do hear it. We do it. If you do not affirm this proclivity, you're angry, it's hate speech. That's what it is. It's hate speech. You're not loving. So they're using a Bible verse as some sort of a a Band-Aid to put over the actual issue. You got to ask yourself the question, what is the issue? So the next time somebody says to you as a Christian, well, don't you love your neighbor? I do. Do you know who said those words? Jesus. That means I'm going to use the Bible to determine what actions actually love my neighbor and which actions don't. You're going to be bullied into climate change. Because, what, do you want the next generations to die? I don't know what the name of that fallacy is, but it is one. I was just watching a video from Jason Lyle. I have tried historically to memorize fallacious argument names. The quid pro hoctor prop scepter sumpter hum. I never remember what they are. But when somebody throws down the don't you love your neighbor as yourself card, maybe it's just an ad hominem. You're unloving. You're hateful. Make sure that you set that aside for a moment to ask, well, you're right. And by the way, if we do something that isn't genuinely loving our neighbor or where we have, get ready for this, the science to back it up, well, then that isn't actually loving neighbor. I want to love neighbor based on truth. There is power to the argument you should love your neighbors yourself because Jesus commanded it, but it must be answered based on truth. This is Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini Master Seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Well, are you ready for another road trip? Of course you are. Just grab your luggage and let's load up. Okay, not really. You don't need to bring anything but maybe a pen and notebook for our next Road Trip to Truth Season 2, because it's here and it's available now at roadtriptotruth.org. And I know you're asking, how are you guys able to improve on the first season? Well, we have all new experts and new lessons that powerfully counter all of the continuous assaults on Christianity. Those assaults unfortunately wind up sidelining many youth and adults, and so we're diving into topics like the gospel, environmentalism, abortion, pornography, agnosticism, 13 total lessons, as a matter of fact, with new experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Street, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arns, and more. Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's on sale right now. And don't forget about the study guide. It's available as well. RoadTripToTruth.org or wretched.org/roadtrip.
If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ruth tells of a Moabite widow who chose to follow the God of Israel and found favor in the eyes of a godly man named Boaz, who claimed her family's land as her kinsman redeemer. Ruth and Boaz
are the ancestors of Jesus and a foreshadowing of Jesus' work as our kinsman redeemer.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Redeem or take advantage? This is Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty fair as a Christian. You're not cuckoo-ca-choo crazy about Halloween. Whilst I personally believe that a Christian family can partake of the holiday, I don't know what there is to celebrate, partake in the social custom without it being dark, without it being witchcraft, divination, or sorcery, without it being about death and blood. I believe a Christian family can do that, and yet there's just something about it that I think most Christians go, I don't really. It's just all the creepy and the ghosts and the ghouls and the goblins and the scary stuff, and everybody puts up things that are supposed to tend to the haunted house. It's not a light holiday. Christmas is light. It's bright. It's cheery. We've got trees and lights and ornaments and festivities. Halloween, you basically have Harry Potter. I'm sorry, did I say that? Is it too soon about the Harry Potter? It's just a dark holiday, and it is my opinion, and this is entirely subjective, that Halloween decorations are more popular these days than Christian decorations. Have you noticed that? When we first moved to the South, give or take 14, 15 years ago, Christmas was, everybody decorates. Now, not so much, but Halloween, kaboom. I'll bet if you Googled it, and you probably could, as long as it doesn't have anything to do with anything conservative, you might actually find it on the Google machine. You Google which holiday sells more decorations and stuff. I'll bet Halloween's getting right up there with Christmas. Oh, I know the trees and the tinsel, but wow, do I see a lot of jack-o'-lanterns and scary orange and purple and black stuff out there. What do you do with a holiday like that? I don't know that you can redeem it. I believe you can partake in it and not be sinning as long as you don't have the kids in creepy costumes, as long as you explain this has nothing to do with that. This is just kind of a social custom where we go get a bunch of candy for the children so that we can spend the other 364 days of the year going, don't eat that. Your teeth are going to fall out of your head. Which, by the way, if you happen to be a child and you consume a lot of candy and your parents have said that to you, they're right. How do I know? My teeth, I'm telling you, the doctor inevitably goes, you've got good choppers. What did you do to them?
I mainline pixie sticks like 10 times a day. I'd actually like put it up on my gums.
And your teeth are going to fall out of your head. Trust me on this. You don't want that much metal. My trash can size skull is big enough. I don't need a bunch of metal in my fillings to make it even heavier. So kids, listen to your parents is what I'm saying. And parents, whilst the kids perhaps are out going out to ding dong and ask for tricks and treats, how's about giving out gospel literature? Every year we put our booklets on sale. Don't Stub Your Toe. Are You a Rotten Fish? The Man Who Split Time, 13 Reasons to Not Commit Suicide, all booklet. You figure out which one is best for you, but they're all on sale. Load up, and you might want to order them lickety-split. Don't know if you've noticed the mail delivery and the supply chains. Wow. Here's some good news, bad news. We're also giving away booklets, but guess what? We just discovered the printing time on booklets is really protracted now. Apparently, it has to do with the COVID business. Apparently, it has to do with people not working, which is not a good thing. I'm telling you, it is not a good thing. The Protestant work ethic is kaput. It doesn't exist. There is no reason for somebody to get up and work when they can be paid by the government to get just as much money and they can sit and watch Netflix pornography and play video games. Why would they? They've got to have something intrinsic, something inside of them, or they need an external motivation, which in this instance is internal, their stomach and the pains. Don't work, don't eat. That's how it works. It inspires and it motivates because work is so good for people. I just wonder, what are people doing that used to work that don't? What are they doing all day? Honestly, I go through we've got the Amazon Prime, I think, is what we've got. It's just we get it for free. It's just garbage. Just really? And then, I'm telling you, 13 plus. It's like, really? You're showing that? We just wanted to watch this period drama, and you do what? 13-year-olds should be watching that? Hey. All that to say, please visit wretched.org, check out our booklet sale, and give away the gospel for Halloween. We can't redeem it per se, but we sure can attempt to share the gospel with people, can't we? Oh! Hold on! Wow, Friel, that's impressive. That was a 5 minute and 42 second promo. You're right there, is what you had. Let's get to some news. This might be something that you would consider doing. If you're a Christian, I'm trusting you're pro-life. If not, please consider the issue and the value of human life and get in the game. There's several ways you can do it. We always encourage people that preborn.org, $28 for an ultrasound, 80% of the time, it saves a woman's life. You can do something. You can actually know that you are participating in the saving of a child's life and the sharing of the gospel, because that's what they do. Dan Steiner, he's the leader of the organization. He's all about evangelism. And so the women and men who come in for counseling, they get the gospel, and they also get a free ultrasound. And 80% of the time, they choose life. It's a great ministry to support. You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Or you could consider, I don't know if you're into this kind of thing, and you always want to make sure that you consider any implications and that it is not incorrectly preaching something, but Rand Paul, he's been getting into some squabbles lately with the Pope, hasn't he? For 48 years, he writes, a few unselected, unelected men and women on the Supreme Court have played God with innocent human life. That is exactly right. God determines life. God determines death. We don't get to curtail it. We don't get to shorten it. Can we work to protract it? Yes, as long as our understanding is we're still reliant on God, and if a healing takes place, it is because of the blessing of medicine, but we do not seek after the fountain of youth to live for forever and become one of those weird cyborg creatures where your head is attached to a machine. Transhumanism is what we're calling it. They have invented laws that condemned to painful deaths without trial more than 62 million babies for the crime of being inconvenient. It's about it, isn't it? This baby doesn't work. Exterminate it. And the highest court in the land said, yeah, we think that's a good idea, too. Working from what the Supreme Court ruled in Roe v. Wade, pro-life lawmakers can pass a Life at Conception Act and end abortion using the Constitution instead of amending it. Well, this is clever. Don't know that I've heard this before. A Life at Conception Act declares unborn children persons as defined by the 14th Amendment. That's important because you've got legal protection under the 14th Amendment. And all we need to do is determine what is it in the mother's womb. And it's obvious, it's a whole innocent human being. No argument. The science backs that up. When the Supreme Court handed down its now infamous Roe v. Wade decision, it did so based on a new, previously undefined right of privacy, which it actually discovered in the Constitution, that you've got a right to privacy. How do you defeat the right of privacy? Well, you get a copy of Road Trip to Truth Season 2. I'm sorry, that's like three plugs in one. But Road Trip to Truth Season 2 deals with this issue in an episode. We actually did two episodes on life. Don't forget, it has a study guide. It's available at wretched.org, Road Trip to Truth Season 2. Scott Klusendorf responding to the whole privacy argument. And it's really simple. You trot out the toddler. Can I beat up my toddler in the privacy of my own home? No. Well, then we shouldn't be able to dismember a baby in the womb of his or her mother. The Supreme Court never once declared abortion itself to be a constitutional right. Did you know that? They were simply ruling on a case. The National Pro-Life Alliance's goal. Now, this is the website that you can go check out. It is on my phone, which is ProLifeAlliance.com. I'm not familiar with their work. I'm just taking Rand Paul's word for it here. You can check out the details for yourself. They're going to deliver 1 million petitions to the House and Senate in support of a Life at Conception Act. That is, I think, really something that we could be doing to help, to show that there is a groundswell out here of people who do not want babies' lives to be taken. You can do that. You cannot do that. But again, the website address is prolifealliance.com. And you'll see the petition right there. Basically, what I read to you, which came from Rand Paul, somebody sent it to me, idea@wretched.org. It's basically what you just heard. Or you can call, get ready, 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. And tell your Congress people and senators to co-sponsor the Life at Conception Act, something we can do. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio.
And I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, retailers in California, get ready. Getting ready to make your toy sections weird. A new bill signed into law over the weekend by Gavin Newsom, directs retailers with 500 or more employees to maintain gender-neutral toy sections or face fines. Now, look, I'm not quite sure that I understand the entire story. Maybe it's because I have a brain. That could be where my trouble comes from. But I'm reading this one or two ways. Either large retailers have to add an additional section, or this could be saying that they're not allowed to sell gender-specific toys at all. I'm not real sure. There's no distinction made in the story that I'm actually reading. Maybe there's another with better clarification, but I'm honestly not interested in reading very much more about this nonsense, because regardless, it's a complete waste of government resources. But it is California. That's kind of what they're known for. Well, you better rush out to your local drugstore and buy up as much aspirin as possible before the government bans it. According to a story on The Blaze, a new study from George Washington University has found that simple over-the-counter aspirin may protect COVID patients from extreme risk, including the need for mechanical ventilation. Makes you kind of wonder why something as cheap and as readily available as aspirin wasn't studied sooner. I mean, it obviously can't be because Big Pharma's involved. I mean, surely not. They're honest people with only the concern of Americans in mind. Go get your stock of aspirin now before Fauci and the CDC decides to ban it. And I can see that coming rather quickly. Well, as I said yesterday, it is a great time to be alive. Because singer Demi Lovato, you know, the person we all need to not mold anything about our lives after? Well, she's proven that point yet again. In a recent interview with an Australian news outlet, Lovato said that we need to stop calling extraterrestrials aliens, because that's a derogatory term. Hey, I never thought about it. Maybe there's a point there. I mean, can we really risk hurting ET's feelings? That would be terrible for us to do, right? I mean, just take it right here from Demi Lovato, the person who wants to be called a plural. She knows all about derogatory terms. Well, police in northern India arrested two Christians on false charges last month and also beat them while in custody for their faith in Christ. Officers arrested the men after receiving reports about forced conversions, though the men claimed to never have had contact with the people making the accusations against them. But one man did admit to being a Christian, saying that Christ had transformed his life. And that was enough for the officers to arrest them and threaten their families unless they paid hefty fines. India ranked 10th on the Open Doors 2021 World Watch List of countries where it's most difficult to be a Christian. As we tell you all the time here at Wretched, please make sure that you're in prayer for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Permit me to weigh in and not weigh in. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you followed the story of a man in Louisiana who murdered at Casey's General Store three individuals. They were about 46, 48, 58 years old. This fellow killed them with an axe pick. Brutal. Early 90s, he was sentenced to the death penalty, but now he's actually finally 2020, okay, 21, 6, 27 years later. There's an efficient system for you. The death penalty is biblical. We see it in Genesis 9 outside of the Mosaic covenant. We see it, I believe, reiterated in Romans 13 when Paul describes why you want to submit to the government, because if not, they could bear the sword on you, which means you could pay the price for your behavior. And that is exactly the point of bringing up this subject of this fellow who has finally been executed. If it were swifter justice, it would have much more of a positive societal impact. But there are Christians and the Pope. Notice I didn't say some Christians, including the Pope. I said there are Christians and the Pope who are argue the man has now been injected lethally, and so he's no longer on the planet. But they argued he should receive clemency. Now, this case is tricky, and I want to weigh in, but not weigh in, because while I know some of the details, I didn't read every single report and court document, but I also know this, that the fellow was determined to be slower mentally. Some even said about a five-year-old level of communication. Now, I have to confess, based on what the man wrote as his farewell letter, it didn't seem like that. Oh, by the way, it wasn't an ice pick. It was a claw hammer. I just noticed. It was determined multiple times that he was indeed competent to stand hearing. This is where it gets a little bit tricky, because in my opinion, if an individual commits the heinous crime of murder, the government has the authority. In fact, I think they should seriously consider acting with the sword to swiftly carry out justice, to prove and to show to everyone that life is that valuable. We'll take your life if you take a life. That's how valuable life is to us. And by the way, that's not what abortion is. Abortion is the intentional taking of an innocent human life. This is the intentional taking of a guilty criminal. And this man, there's no question he had some struggles. Also, I believe it was 2006, 20% of his brain was removed. Not because we were doing some sort of eugenics experiment. He had some sort of brain illness. But Mr. Johnson's claim that he is not competent to be executed has been reviewed and rejected by a jury in court six different times, including a unanimous decision by the Missouri State Court. And so the governor of Missouri decided it's time. And he did not hear the pleas of the people saying he should receive clemency. Should he? Because he became a Christian. Well, let me ask, should he if he becomes a Buddhist? Why? And what does that have to do with justice? What does that have to do with sending the signal in a very potent manner that life is precious and that the government has been given the sword as a minister of God to go about exacting justice to keep this place under control? If somebody gets saved in the midst of that, praise God they got saved. Hopefully this fellow did. I believe he was a Seventh-day Adventist. But he said in his final statement, "I love the Lord with all my heart and soul. If I'm executed, I know I'm going to heaven because I ask him to forgive me." The murder was committed in 1994. I was right about that date. Archbishop Christophe Pierre wrote to Governor Parson on behalf of Pope Francis, saying, quote, "He wishes to place before you the simple fact of Mr. Johnson's humanity and the sacredness of all human life." Exactly, Cardinal. The sacredness of, and when somebody takes a life, their life is demanded of them. This is to practice, it's just to not be biblical. It's really taken me a while, I have to confess, to settle into capital punishment. And I think we always need to be careful. We don't want to be gleeful about it. Oh, good. We're going to execute somebody this week. Oh, bummer. We're down to only 17 a year. It used to be 98. And 97 of those were probably in Texas. Want to be careful that we don't become bloodthirsty. But with a high view of life, we need to recognize the government has been given that task, assigned as a minister from God himself. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, they could. I'm more inclined to say, no, they should. And it should be done swiftly. And with all due respect to the cardinal and to the pope, their very argument that they're using to save his life is the very reason they shouldn't. Pope Francis previously declared in 2018 that all executions were unacceptable and an attack on human dignity. I would say not punishing a murderer with death. It's not murder. It's death, it's killing, but it's not murder because they're guilty and worthy of that sentence because the Bible says so. It's failing to remember, what about the human dignity of the people that were beaten to death with a claw hammer and then put into a freezer? I think that was the deal. There was more to it. They got put in. It's quite grisly. During the 1994 robbery, Johnson shot and attacked his three victims with a claw hammer. Casey's General Store. The individual one of the people was stabbed at least 10 times with a screwdriver. One of them was shot in the face. Their bodies were hid in a cooler on site. Mr. Pope, what about their human dignity? Oh, wait a second. What about the human dignity of their relatives and loved ones who survived? What about their human dignity? Another piece of debate going on out there has been offered up by a Pennsylvania lawmaker. You're going to guess what party he's in. He called it something like, it's mock legislation, which really, that's exactly what legislation should be. Mockery. He's using this to get our attention, to prove his point. What is he promoting? He wants to pass a bill that aims to force men to receive a forced vasectomy by their 40th birthday. Should a book ever be written about the demise and the collapse of Western civilization, in particular America? If I were a bad man, this story might be in it. This just might be a part of it to demonstrate the foolish thinking. The Democratic state rep announced his intention to introduce legislation to enforce reproductive responsibility among men. I thought we used to call that forced sterilization and eugenics. Oof. Because we've only been talking about a woman in this issue. Well, where's the man's responsibility? Yeah, I actually agree with that. We do have a tendency to just forget about the father. Shouldn't be the case. But if two consenting adults get together, the purpose of it, in part, is to bear fruit of your own kind. And so both man and woman should be responsible for that. Is this the way to promote that? No, I think we tried this in the 20th century. Do you know that sterilization took place up until early 1970 in South Carolina? That it's like tens of thousands or over 100,000 people in America were sterilized because we didn't think that they should have the right to reproduce. We decided as a society, no, that's not up to us to make that decision. But it appears this fellow thinks it's maybe a good idea. Quote, I'll be introducing legislation that will require all, sorry for this, inseminators. You see, when we had this little covenant thing called marriage, which was the bill of consent that everybody agreed to regarding the procreative act, we used to call the inseminators a different name. Father. It will require fathers to undergo vasectomies within 6 weeks from having their third child or 40th birthday, whichever comes first. Oh, cool. So population control to boot. Hey, that's what America needs. Fewer kids because we are not reproducing after ourselves. I think we've dipped below the 2.0 number. You're married? You need two to replace you. Three is better. That's a thriving culture, but not from a liberal perspective. They see them as useless feeders. They see them as a danger to the planet. They see them as just producers of methane or carbon dioxide. Christians see them differently. We see them as blessings, that they might actually, I don't know, come up with a cure or a solution to our problem. As long as state legislators continue to restrict the reproductive rights of cis women, trans women, and non-binary people, there should be laws that address the responsibility of men who impregnate them. Well, I agree. There should absolutely be more talk about men and our responsibility. And if you get a woman pregnant, congratulations, you're a father and you've got to do the right thing. That is a radically different approach than forced vasectomies. Oh, we're not progressing. This is Wretched Radio. If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
You know, there are a ton of things people partner in. Some have business partners. Some have workout partners. Everybody needs accountability partners. Then there are partners in crime, which I don't recommend. You've got marriage partners, which I do recommend. And of course, we can't forget the wretched gospel partner. Our gospel partners make what we're able to do here at Wretched possible. Without you guys, there is no Wretched. You have faithfully and consistently helped Wretched reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we humbly thank you. And if you haven't done so, would you please prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Wretched? You can know that your generous gifts will be faithfully stewarded away. So would you, number one, please pray for us? And number two, would you also pray about how you could support Wretched as a monthly gospel partner? Get more details on how you can do just that right now at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is an epistle. Epistles are letters written to the church at large or to a specific church which contain doctrine, theological arguments, and practical application. God uses first century correspondence to deliver his timeless truth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do your kids know the gay BCs? Hi-yo! Look at what that illustrator did. This is Wretched Radio. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Rachel, for sending me a picture of a book that she found while shopping. at Barnes & Noble. The book, I hold it in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, is called The Gay BCs. It's a children's book. If I'm looking at the images, and I'm usually when there's an image on a package or you see a commercial, the actors in the spot are the people that they want to go after. They think that's the target demo. At least that's the way we used to think. But this booklet, I think, personifies that by showing little kids, I would say about the age of 8, 7. Well, they're learning that. Wait a second. They're learning the gay BCs. Here's what the back of the book says. Celebrate friendship, love, and identity with this. Remember, this is for children, 7-year-olds perhaps. Celebrate friendship, love, and identity with this colorful and affirming board book. From G is for gay to N is for non-binary to S is for sachet. The author and illustrators, bright illustrations, and joyful poems show kids and adults the beauty of embracing your truest self. Can anybody spell romanticism? We are seeing I'm telling you, romanticism, it is alive and thriving, and it shouldn't be. This is the follow your heart worldview. That's what you feel that way? We are seeing this played. I don't know that it can be played out in any more extreme manner than what it currently is, that you can separate yourself from your gender, that you can separate what you physically are from what you think you are. That has tentacles into romanticism. Incidentally, we did, I think we shared it here when we were talking about Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's so good. I'm telling you, it's so good. We deal with a history of... No, that's Season 3. Scratch that. It's not in Season 2. No, it is. Wait, I can't remember. No. Season 2, with Greg Giffert, we did Philosophical Systems. But then, in the third season with Tom Hammond, we did bumper sticker worldviews or bumper sticker philosophy. Just pithy statements that have a worldview connected to them, like follow your heart, believe in yourself, dream it, you can achieve it, you be you. What is all of that? That's romanticism. That we don't fully reject empiricism, but we realize that science can't answer all of the big questions, and so I need to be more emotively involved. That ultimately sprung up to be a worldview that said, I follow my heart. If it feels good, do it. Biblical counseling, incidentally, is the exact opposite of that. Having said all of that, I would like to offer an exception. That if somebody determines that they're actually a different gender than what they are, it's okay if they're 4 years old. Headline, my toddler, and the my, by the way, would you be shocked if I said it was the mother? My toddler came out as trans at age 4. He's so much happier now. This is child abuse, is what this is. Once again, behind each one of these children, there is a mom who promotes it and affirms it. She says, well, I tried to, you know, encourage him to play with cowboys and to do war games, but he just wanted to wear a dress, so I let him. Always the mother. I don't want this hair, my almost 3-year-old told me. Okay, then we'll give you the haircut. You want a stylish bob? Then that's what we'll do. You're 3. You know best. What do I know? I'm just the parent. I'm just the one who gave birth to you and who have walked on the planet for a few more decades. But what do I know? I don't want this hair, my almost 3-year-old told me. When asked what haircut he'd like, my toddler enthusiastically said he wanted his hair like his older cousin, a boy. I was hesitant to charge down this path. I'll bet she wasn't. After all, it does appear that she fought this for at least a month or two. But my 2-year-old, I realized I need to be redirected. I asked if he wanted a girl bob instead. It was quickly rejected. Mom, I'm a girl, but I want to have a boy's haircut. You sure you wouldn't like a bob? No, I don't think I'd like that. Okay, then you're a boy. She really, really was hesitant. I pressed on with the bob style. Then I decided to follow my gut, romanticism, and give my child what I knew was needed. Pictures of little boy haircuts. Yes, yes, that one. The joy and validation were evident on his face. Now, she says she pushed this to the point of tears. She doesn't say that there actually were tears. My son started telling me he was a boy. Well, actually, she was, a few months before he turned two. Oh, wait a second. 2 years old. They know what their gender is and what it should be, and you don't, and we've got to let them decide. Oy gavilta fish. Two. 2 years old. Are they even in a car seat that faces forward at that age? Are they? We still burp two-year-olds, don't we? Mash up their food for them. Honestly. We started using his affirmed pronouns around age four. It took some time for our language to catch up with our hearts. The short hair turned quickly into boy clothing and underwear, from sitting to go to the bathroom to trying to stand while going to the bathroom. That standing thing is such a social construct. How ridiculous can we possibly be in this planet? And if this doesn't strike you as being something that's outrageous, how's about the current president of the United States affirmed an 8-year-old's decision to be a different gender, if it were possible? I suspect if the question had been at my 2-year-old, she thinks he's a he. What do you think? I suspect he would have affirmed it if it makes them happier. He said in a debate, what is that? If it makes you happy, if it feels good, do it. It's romanticism. That is exactly the worldview that we are seeing drive so much these days. So much. The exclusion of just what is obvious. You got to do what makes you happy. Heart's deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? Canadian tribunal rules that using wrong pronouns violates human rights. $30,000 award to a trans-identified woman. Zoinks Scoob. The individual refused the preferred pronouns, and that amounted to discrimination. Get ready. You're going to have to make a pronoun decision. And ironically, the very thing that we put up on our faith statements in so many churches to define marriage between a man and a woman might well be the exact statement that causes the church to not be allowed to function. Things to think about, Pastor. In the meantime, speaking of romanticism, Liz Cheney, she would be a Wyoming representative, daughter of Dick Cheney. You remember him, don't you? Mr. Halliburton, we were told over and over again. Liz Cheney apologizes for previous opposition to same-sex marriage. I was wrong, she said. Not a shocker. She's quite a liberal individual anyway. But this is what I thought was interesting. After expressing her belief that her dad was right to come out in support of same-sex marriage, as she initially doubled down in her opposition, she explains that she was later reconciled with her sister when she changed her tune. What caused Liz and Dick Cheney to decide that they are going to affirm gay marriage? The sister came out and dad capitulated. Sister gave in because of a heart connection. And I get that. And it's strong. And it's something. Probably don't need to dwell a long time on it, Mom and Dad, but should it ever happen that your child comes out, how many times do we see parents go, you know, now that I think about it, maybe it's not so bad because they want their kid to be happy? We're being romantics in the moment ourselves. We just want them to be happy. Happiness can never exist divorced of truth. It can't. It cannot have a positive. It just can't. You can't kick against the goads of the universe, which are God's spiritual metaphysical laws, and have a happy life. You just can't. So when we encounter this, it's a friend, it's a loved one. Stay friends. You're still a relative. Love them like crazy. But don't compromise on the truth. It's a temptation. I'm sure it's powerful, but love without truth is neither. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.